Hello, I'm Nigel Reed, and welcome to Cricket Central. On this edition, the IPL is up and running with big hitters and big crowds. We've seen last ball finishes and even a super over. But is cricket's version of overtime really necessary? We've seen the sun rising in Hyderabad. The Royals are looking regal, but the Warriors don't seem very brave. All that and more on today's Cricket Central. As usual, two men who've forgotten more about the game than I ever knew are here to enlighten the conversation. Former Canadian international batsman Zubin Sukari, and alongside him, broadcaster and cricket writer Faraz Sarwat. Faraz, first week of IPL 6, the overture has been played. We've seen the opening shots taken on both sides. Certainly the fans have had their money's worth with all these tight finishes. I guess it's just what the organisers are hoping for.
Absolutely. This is exactly what they wanted, particularly the tight finishes that you've mentioned, Nigel. And you do expect close finishes. And for the most part, that's what's been happening.
So we've had balls changing games down to the last ball of the 20th over. And from a player's perspective, that gets tensions running very high and strange things happen because all these players are talented. But when push comes to shove, you never quite know what's going to happen in those last two or three balls.
There's 50,000 plus people showing up to these games. The atmosphere around the ground must be fantastic. They're getting paid, so they're not worrying about anything going on back home. It's a short period of time, so you can really go at it hard. The bowlers can bowl really hard. The batsmen have to take risks, and that's always going to pay off in amazing shots and things like that. And it's definitely living up to the hype.
Is this the shape of things to come? I wonder whether the teams are actually getting closer in terms of talent. Traditionally in Indian Premier League, there have been the haves and the have-nots, but maybe this is an indication that the talent pool is getting a little bit closer and that the race for the playoffs will be just so close as well.
Yes, to some extent, I would agree with that. I think there are still haves and have-nots, but I think some teams have been more strategic in how they've acquired their assets, and they've looked for role players, and they've looked at the fact that if I have, 20 overs to bat, do I need to pack my team full of batsmen? Do I maybe need three batsmen, and do I strategically place them in the lineup? So different teams have approached it differently, but I think given that even the have-nots have some pretty substantial talent in their ranks, I do expect games to be closer.
Well, there are no bad teams in IPL, no bad players, because they wouldn't be there in the first place. But do you get the sense, Zub, that perhaps the pack is closing a little?
Yeah, I think it definitely is. Every single team seems to be fairly strong. And 2020 cricket is such that one or two guys in a couple overs can really swing it. So, if you look at, the Royals, what they were a few years ago and what they are now, and then coming back and maybe making a stand this year, it doesn't take much. It's just a couple innings. It's just a couple moments in a game. And there's some good players that they're getting experience. If you look at how many games played, a lot of the players are, they're getting up to the 50, 60, almost to 100 game mark.
Yeah, one of the things I find kind of interesting when you look at these teams is that, there are, of course, great, international players, but there are substantial weak links in these teams too. And these are the domestic Indian players, some of whom might not be up to scratch and will probably never play for India. So they're littered throughout these teams too, and they're ripe for, exploiting it.
And yet it is a shop window for these so-called lesser players. They may, as you say, never be picked for the national team, but it is a tremendous shop window for these young Indians trying to make their way in the game, and fantastic experience for them to be able to share a dressing room with some of the legends of the game.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why the game has got a bit tighter now. I think in the first few IPLs, the young guys were really getting thumped around. Scores are getting 160, 170. Now, I think the actual Indian guys, the local guys, are actually getting a bit better. If you've seen a couple of the performances from the batsmen, a few of the bowlers that have come on, they're slowly getting it, because I think maybe they've had contracts for another year, 2 years now. They kind of feel a little bit settled, and that's probably why the games and the scores are getting a little bit better.
And yet, despite that, we've seen so far, and this is by no means an indication of what will happen over the next few weeks as the chase for those playoff places intensifies, but certainly one of the marks of the opening few games is there's been a lack of big totals, just 2 over 150, when we've become accustomed for us to seeing 180s, 190s, 175 being about the par mark.
Yeah, that is true. I think the scores are going to actually go up. They had more life than you would expect in Indian pitches. And, they're assisting the likes of Dale Steyn, and I think that makes a difference, where some players have kind of gone in expecting kind of slow or sluggish or just pure batting tracks, and they're not necessarily getting that. And I think they'll probably adapt as the games go on.
Do you think it's the players or the pitches that are contributing to these lower scores, or a combination of both?
Well, I mean, some of the domestic guys are getting a little bit better. You know, they'll back themselves to hit a few early in their innings and then, you know, get a couple low scores and go, you know what, I got to put my head down here. And then that'll let them bat a little bit longer. And then they'll see that they're making, instead of the quick 20s and taking the risk, they're going to go, you know, 30, 40 and then start hammering it and getting to the 70s and 80s. And, you know, and then you'll see the scores getting about 150, 160.
Yeah, and I think one of the things with 2020 cricket in particular is that you always feel you can make it up. So if your first few overs, the run rate isn't that great, you always feel, well, I need like one over where there's 18 or 20 scored, and all of a sudden we're back in the game. And if we get two of such overs, everything will be fine. So I think there's an element of that, and you do see a bit of feast or famine with certain players where either they get nothing or they score big. And Chris Gayle is probably the prime example of that. So I think that that's a part of it too. So I expect that once some of these players, you know, become fully acclimatized and got, you know, the measure of these pitches, I think the scores are definitely going to go up.
Last week on the show, we spoke about the new franchise, Sunrisers Hyderabad, who's replaced Deccan Chargers, and I'm not sure that there were too many people who thought that the Sunrisers would win their opening two games. I think maybe one or two people think this is a brand new franchise for us, therefore it's a blank sheet of paper and brand new players, but that's not necessarily the case. Quite a lot of the former Deccan players have been transferred over, if you like, to the new franchise. Sangakkara still in charge. Dale Steyn already making his presence felt, albeit in a different colored uniform.
And it's the same city too, essentially.
Indeed.
Different name, perhaps different owners, but yeah, as you said, a lot of the key players are there that were, you know, have bonded together in a previous incarnation. And in this type of cricket, again, it's one or two key players that can really make a difference. And you know, if you have somebody like Dale Steyn already, you've won a psychological battle up front, because you know this is a guy who can damage you quite a bit with the ball. And you know, somebody like Waqar Yunus, the new coach, kind of sitting in the back, weary of even some of the lesser known, you know, fast bowlers coming on, do they have a trick or two up their sleeve? And you know, if you've got a good opening new ball attack, I think that certainly makes a difference in how teams are going to approach you. Kumar Sangakkara as captain, you know, the brains behind it all on the field, so you know, an incredibly intelligent cricket player, great cricket brain, you know, will probably see five steps ahead of other people, and accordingly the team can do well.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I watched him play these two games, and it's almost like he's playing a game of chess on a cricket field. He always wants to be two or three steps ahead of his opponents, and so far so good, and had a lot of decisions to make in that second win, which actually went past the final ball finish. Scores were tied, and so a super over came along. There's only been three of these in IPL history, and essentially what happens is that you get one over to crack as many as you can and lose as few wickets. I think you've got a one wicket down policy as far as that's concerned, and that went the way of Sangakkara as well. He could have put himself into bat, but he put himself sort of in reserve if that wicket went, and he went with a player, he backed a player who hadn't necessarily performed in the regular game, but he knew that Cameron White had it in him to tonk when, you know, the chips were down, and he had half a dozen balls to just crack it as far as he could.
Yeah, good gamble, I think, and the right guy if he's in form, for sure.
And you knew that Gayle was going to be part of the reply, and even this was too much for Chris Gayle, and it's not often that we say that.
That's right, and I've seen Cameron White in the past absolutely smear the ball out of the ground. So, you know, a really great player for, particularly if you've got six balls to bowl at him.
Well, that's right. Now, let's just talk about the super over itself and the fact that it is even there. The policy obviously is that, like in many other sports, the organisers want a winner and a loser at the end of the day. And so the Sunrisers come away with maximum points, having won in overtime, in inverted commas. But I wonder what's the matter with a good old fashioned tie.
Yeah, that's part of the new age. You know, they want a result. It's the modern era. They don't want to do the old shaking hands and split the points and have some tea, as most people think of cricket.
And crumpets, obviously.
Yeah.
Don't fall off your chair, Nigel. But I feel that super over is fine. It should be a part of it.
I'm about to fall off my chair. The next bump you will hear will be my head hitting the floor.
And I'll tell you why.
Seriously.
I mean, you know, this form of cricket is interesting. I had a talk once, a very serious sit-down conversation with Wasim Akram once, and his view of it was that this form of cricket, it purely is entertainment. Don't read too much into it. Don't, you know, don't, you know, you don't have to be very serious about this type of cricket, and therefore anything that's going on in it, if it's entertaining, it's fine. So hence the cheerleaders and, you know, everything else that's going on in the
Well, that's fine. I don't mind it. I have no problem with the cheerleaders. I have no problem with the blaring music. But to be fair, that has nothing to do with how the game turns out.
Yeah, but I guess if the point is that this form of cricket is essentially about entertaining the masses, are they more entertained if you walk off with a tie shaking hands, or do they want, you know, another 12 balls?
They might want another 12 balls where manic things happen, but my goodness, they take their sweet time getting there, because after the end of regulation, then you've got another 10, 15 minute delay when we decide who's going to bat, who's going to bowl, and so on and so forth. It actually takes time. If they're going to do it, then that's fine, but let's have all this decided before a ball is bowled so that we can turn right around and get on with it.
What's interesting is that when 2020 cricket first kind of started, on at least on the international stage, they didn't have the super over. What they had was a bowl out.
Well, that was awful.
And you'd have, you know, five bowlers coming in to bowl at, you know, an undefended pair of stumps, you know. And I saw bowlers coming in with their full run-up, you know, wanting to bowl, bowl at a pair
top of off stump, you know, just going on.
You're not convincing me, boys.
You know, but it was, you know, would you rather see that? Because that was, you know, head-shakingly bad.
I suppose if there is a lesser of two evils, and I'm not sure this is it, but I suppose a super over is the lesser of two evils as opposed to a bowler. At least there is some action going on. At least there are more balls to be hit into kingdom come.
What about a dance-off between the cheerleaders?
No, I don't think that's going to work at all. I can't see that happening. Plenty more to discuss on Cricket Central. Rejoin us in a few moments' time. Nigel Reid alongside Zubin Sukari and Faraz Sarwat. You can follow all the action, by the way, on Sportsnet World and Sportsnet's World Online, presented by CIBC. A warm welcome back to Cricket Central. I'm Nigel Reid, alongside Zubin Sukari and Faraz Sarwat. We're reviewing the opening exchanges and shots from the sixth edition of the Indian Premier League. We discussed the fact that the Sunrisers Hyderabad had won their opening two games, and we can't mention them, gentlemen, without also bringing into the equation the Rajasthan Royals. Not necessarily one of the haves or the have-nots, but we talked about the fact that the pack might be tightening a little, and they have won their first two games as well. Any surprises that they have made a positive start to the season?
Not a surprise. I think they don't have the huge superstars in their team. They have the workhorse Rahul Dravid, who's a guy who probably hasn't played in 12 months. They also have Brad Hodge, who I think is, you know, not a huge superstar in the international scene, but should have been. And they've just got an all-around good team. I know Watson's going to be coming back. He was in today's game. And the guy that I think is who's pretty unique, and which I assume we're going to talk about, is Mr. Cooper, Kevin Cooper.
We will in just a moment. Yeah, I mean, thoughts about, I mean, Rahul Dravid, he's been there forever, but he's still making useful runs.
He's making useful runs. And again, as we were talking about Sangakkara, a thinker in the game, a good person to have on the field for tactical reasons. And we've talked about Brad Hodge in the past. You know, he was never got his fair share, you know, in international cricket. But in this version of the game, very, very good, coming in lower in the order. And if you look at some of the Indian talent, Ajinkya Rahane, you know, one of the better young players in India, right at the top of the order, so that's good too for them.
Let's get another perspective on this, because as you mentioned there, Zub, one of the reasons that the Royals are going well and looking perhaps regal is a young West Indian, not one of the stars, at least not yet. His name is Kevon Cooper. Delighted to be joined on the line from Port of Spain, Trinidad and Tobago, by Fazia Mohammed, who knows all about these players. Fazia, welcome to Cricket Central.
Thanks very much, gentlemen. Good to be on the program. And yes, indeed, he certainly emerged as one of the early outstanding players in the tournament. What did he did last year when he picked up four wickets on his debut for the Rajasthan Royals and was then sidelined by injury halfway through the season? But just to respond to maybe some of you, it's a bit of a surprise that the likes of the Sunrisers of Hyderabad and the Rajasthan Royals are making the early piece. We need to keep in mind that this would not be the first time that a star team is outdoing a team of stars. When you talk about the Mumbai Indians, when you talk about the Kolkata Knights, the Royal Challengers of Bangalore, you think about the big name players in international and especially T20 cricket. But just remember that Rajasthan were the inaugural champions in 2008. The Sunrisers of Hyderabad are basically a revamped Deccan Chargers who won the title in 2009. So basically you're talking about two franchises who obviously have identified players, horses for courses. They have not necessarily looked for these superstar players. They apparently have bought wisely and so far it's bearing good fruit.
So, a little more about Kevon Cooper. He's an up-and-coming player. I've watched him play a couple of games. Doesn't appear to do anything extraordinary with the ball. It's relatively medium pace. He bats it in the middle order, but he's certainly having an effect and a positive one.
Indeed he is, and I think the reason that he is so effective is that it is T20 cricket, and his strong points would be deceptive changes of pace. And as we saw in the first match where you had a situation where basically you thought the Rajasthan Royals would lose their opening encounter, but he bowled a superb final over and did the same pretty much again today, the penultimate over to clinch the victory for the Royals. It's that change of pace and that deceptive type of action. It's a jerky action. Many question marks have been raised about his action, and a couple of years ago, he actually had to go to Australia for some repair work on that action because it was felt that the straightening of the elbow was beyond the allowance. But while he may not be the most effective bowler in the longer forms of the game, even the 50-over variety, and certainly at first-class cricket, he's not considered to be any sort of force in the first-class level. Portrait of that debate. This is the type of game that suits him perfectly because you've got a situation where batsmen have to go after him, and with those deceptive changes of pace, it really is tailor-made for his style of bowling.
You've nailed it right there. He's the kind of guy that you think you can go after, and he's got kind of that medium pace, and you're like, okay, you know, this is a guy we want to target. And he actually bowls a pretty decent ball. He's got good variation. You know, he's actually a decent batsman as well, and that's why he's actually batting in the middle order. So I think they've recognized that. He's handy.
And I saw one thing from him today which really had nothing to do with talent, whether it be with the bat or the ball, but it was more to do with hunger and making an impression. And we've discussed already the local Indian players having that shop window, and perhaps for somebody like Kevon Cooper, not necessarily a household name in T20 or world cricket, but again, an opportunity. He was running after the ball, trying to field his own bowling, and just announce himself as a genuine cricketer who can perform at this level.
That's quite true. I think one of the things that the IPL has done is that it's found kind of lesser lights in the domestic structures of countries and brought them to the IPL, and whereas a lot of the Australians and the South Africans have actually fizzled, the West Indians have actually done quite well. You know, Sunil Narayan is probably the best example of that. Certainly, I think it provides an opportunity for these players to kind of raise their profile and get into the West Indies side in this form of cricket.
Fazeer, let's move on to last year's standout star of IPL, Sunil Narayan, and he's back again, already with 6 wickets in the opening 2 games. Got tonked in the last couple of balls today, but was certainly influential in that opening game, and he's no longer under the radar. A lot of people wondering whether or not Narayan, if you like, is the real deal and can back it up again in 2013.
I think he's showing already that he is the real deal, certainly in T20 cricket. There's been a lot of talk in the Caribbean about whether or not he should be a fixture in the test team, but the fact that he struggled so badly in the 2 test matches in Bangladesh last year, where basically it's a different style of game, as you would be aware, where the batsman can basically play him out and not take any chances. It's a different sort of situation in the T20 format, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if he enjoys as much success or even greater success than what he enjoyed in 2012. Many people might have felt that the newness and the unfamiliarity would have worn off by now. But again, it's simply a matter of whether they can pick it. And if they can't pick it, if they can't pick the traditional off-break from the Dusra, then he will always be ahead of the game, and the batsman will always be guessing. And when you're guessing in T20 cricket, you've always got the chance of picking up wickets because the batsman has basically no choice than to try to score off you. So I really believe that Sunil Narayan will have another stellar season. Whether he'll be able to help the Kolkata Knight Riders lift the title is another matter, but I expect him to do well once again.
And what is the thought in the West Indies? You talk about the fact, and rightly so, that he is fast becoming the standout star of the Indian Premier League, seen all over the world, the interesting haircut, so on and so forth, and almost that nonchalance. I noticed one of the wickets he took a couple of days ago when he dismissed a fellow West Indian. The caught and bowled was so simple to him, it was almost as if to say, well, this is all too easy.
Indeed it is. And that's what it's all about personality as well. One of the things that we do in the cricketing world is bravado. It's that sort of machismo that is all part and parcel of the Caribbean persona. In the great days of the Richards and Marshalls and so on and so forth, it came naturally with the dominance of the West Indies on the field. Now you have the stage of the IPL. You've got players in an environment where they revel in the bright lights and the music and the dancing girls and everything that is associated with it. And it brings out that sort of personality even more. I'm sure Zubin and Faraz will remember Deeb Mohammed and his own dancing around and celebrating whenever he got a wicket for Trinidad and Tobago, especially when they got to the final of the Champions League in 2009, and he really became a personality with that. So again, those who appreciate more of the subtlety and the genteel nature of the traditional variety of the game may scoff at all of that, but this is the modern version of the game. It's about personality, it's about performance, it's about attracting your audience.
Some very interesting points there, and some smiles here in the studio as you refer back across the years. Obviously, Zubin, that clicks with you.
Yeah, there's no shortage of Trinis expressing themselves. I think, all the West Indians are always have their characters, but Trinidad for sure, and Deeb Mohammed, he's fantastic. Badri's a little quiet, but, you know, Narayan obviously gives it to you, and even the guys like Pollard, and definitely Bravo. Dwayne is probably a bit more, you know, he likes to show himself. He's good on the dance floor as well, but I think it's part and parcel, and you know, they play the game hard. You can see by the way the competition's going in the other games to see the fighting spirit that they have amongst themselves and how it works.
As far as Narayan is concerned, it's becoming evident that he's got some sort of swagger about him, and perhaps you need that to intimidate your opponent, notwithstanding the fact that, as Fazia said, it's increasingly difficult, or at least it was in 2012, and looks as though it might be again in 2013 for batsmen to pick him, because he can move the ball both ways.
Yeah, not just move the ball both ways. He can sometimes get really sharp turn and sometimes no turn at all, and that's interesting. But, you know, going back to the swagger thing, I always find it very interesting to see spinners who have swagger. You know, you're used to the tall, strapping West Indies fast bowlers having the swagger. You see these little spinners coming along, you know, but they're just as deadly. So, why not?
Before we let you go, Fazia, we noticed a couple of days ago, Mumbai against Chennai, one of the great rivalries in IPL. Pollard and Bravo not exactly going at it, but something of an exchange between these two. I guess it's nothing new to you.
No, it isn't, because they're actually from the same club, the Queen's Park Cricket Club in Port of Spain, which is the home ground, the test ground here in Trinidad and Tobago. So when they do come up against each other at IPL, sparks tend to fly, because they enjoy going after each other, and I think that is what adds to the flavour of it. Last year when they met in the playoffs and Chennai prevailed, and after, I think it was Bravo who got the wicket off of Pollard, as Pollard was walking off, Bravo came alongside him and did the imitation of an aircraft taking off, as if to suggest, well, you could basically head to the airport right now because you're on your way back home. And it is not done with any sort of malice, because this is the way things happen in Trinidad and Tobago. It's a unique sort of environment that many West Indian cricketers who are not from Trinidad and Tobago often struggle to appreciate themselves, where fans on who are supposed to be supporting you tend to spend a lot of time making fun of their own players. And that is a unique sort of style in Trinidad and Tobago, to a lesser extent in other parts of the Caribbean. And when you have players from the same country meeting on a stage like the IPL, it's an opportunity for even more showboating. So that sort of confrontation plays well with the audience, but there's really no malice intended.
Friendly rivalry, I suppose, is one way of explaining it. But as ever, Fazia, love to hear your opinion, and thank you so much for joining us on Cricket Central.
It's been a pleasure, gentlemen.
That's Fazia Mohammed, live on the line from Port of Spain, Trinidad and Tobago. Don't forget, you can follow all the action across IPL 6 on Sportsnet World and Sportsnet World Online, presented by CIBC. Cricket Central is a Titan GSG production. Executive producer Rathan Morthy, editor Jeff Eden. Until next time, thanks for listening.